This episode of Breakthrough Success is brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Go check them out at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough to receive 20% off your first 6 months. What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Roberti, the podcasting coach here, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcast. And one of the things that we should be thinking about is how can we get the most out of our lives? How can we achieve all these different goals? How can we spend time with people who matter the most to us? How do we get the most out of our lives? That's what we're going to talk about in this episode. So the guest who joins us today, he is a millennial overcomer and risk taker and owner of Lucas Consulting. And as a firm believer in the power of the creative process, he applies his knowledge and skills to help others resolve a variety of issues and maximize their full potential. He is also an active member of a nonprofit organization called the Mankind Project, which facilitates transformational experiences for men throughout the year. So our guest for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Henry Lucas. Henry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Henry, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And I feel like it's so important for us to really get the most out of our lives and really be able to live it to the fullest. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how you first decided to pursue this path of helping people live life to the fullest and some of the things you've done to live life to the fullest.
Yeah, so I'm a drug addict in long-term recovery. In December, I'll have 11 years off of illicit drugs and alcohol. I'm pretty excited about that. Really, that started my journey into really wanting to help others. When I was young, when I was a boy, I always wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself. And as a teenager, I found myself, mixed in with the wrong crowd, using drugs and alcohol. And after I got sober, I went back to school. I got my bachelor's degree and my master's degree, and I started to practice counseling and therapy. And a few years ago, I started writing this book. So,
and it is interesting you got started. Like, you were at a low point, and then you're able to pick yourself up. And I feel like there are some people who are at that low point, feel like they can't live life to the fullest. Like, they feel like they've been dealt a bad hand. So for someone who feels like they're at a very low point right now, what advice would you give them so they get out of that low point and have the transformation?
Yeah, the first thing is realizing that victims don't get well, that there's really something empowering about knowing that I can choose the course of my life. And in most of the low spots that I've ever been in, I was the main culprit in driving me to be in that low spot. So if my choices can put me in a low spot, then my choices can really make me transcend and go beyond what I can experience in my life. Then after recognizing that no victims really get better, is looking at what are the resources in my life that I have, what are the relationships that I can rely on, where can I go to get the help that I need? That's probably the most important things.
And it is good to get help also, because you want to have a good group around you. Because if you hang out, in Henry's case, he hung out with friends that, that didn't show him the right decisions. They weren't a good group to hang around with. But then if you surround yourself with different people who are at that level of success you want to achieve, or who can help you achieve success, that's going to put you in a better position to being able to live life to the fullest. And it's like your book, Maximize, 10 Approaches for Getting the Most from Your Life. I mean, that really goes a lot deeper into that. I wonder if you could give us just a brief look into the book and some of those 10 approaches for getting the most of your life.
Yeah, so I think I'll just hit on the most important ones that I like that come natural to me. The first one is humor. I think a lot of times we get a lot of pressure from our families, our community, from the American culture to drive and to be successful. And sometimes I've been known to take myself too seriously. And so being able to laugh, being able to look at the lighter side of things, having some humor, I think that is really important to bring in balance to the seriousness, but also to how how funny life can actually be. I think humor is really important. Another one I believe is important is service to others, being able to help others. You know, someone doesn't have to go to school to get a degree to be able to help other people. They could do what you're doing and do a podcast. They could hold the door open for somebody at the store. They could mow their neighbor's lawn without their neighbor really asking them. You know, there's really a lot of different things that we could do for each other to really help help push humanity more in a positive direction. And then the last one's probably our attitude. And in the book, I talk about having this sort of attitude of gratitude. What we know through neuroscience is that gratitude has the power to actually change the neural networks in our brain. So when I'm thinking of something negative, I don't really have the brain capacity to think of the good things or the positive things that are going on in my life. Like, I can't be grateful and have a shitty attitude at the same time. So it's important to be able to find some gratitude in the small things that we have in our life. Like, I had hot water when I took my shower this morning. What's something else? I'm drinking good filtered water right now. Those are real simple things that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for my partner and my daughter and all of those things, but also looking at what are the small things that we're grateful for too. It really puts it in perspective. When I can value what I do have, I'm not too consumed thinking about what I don't have.
Yeah, that's a few really great points. I love the gratitude piece, and you can't be grateful and upset at the same time. So if you choose to be grateful, you choose not to be upset, which will help you live life to the fullest. It'll also help you with productivity. And I mean, it's just a matter of finding time, maybe at the end of the day, maybe at the beginning of the day, to write in a journal. Do you do the journaling, or do you just like mentally rehearse what you're grateful for?
The thing about my book, which I think sets it aside from a lot of self-help books, is the application of the practical ideas that I talk about. So I give a few examples in the book. One is to write down gratitudes. That's really important, because if I'm writing down my gratitudes, you know, 10 days from now, I can look back to this day and see, what was I grateful for 10 days ago? I also talk about in workplaces or at the home, leaving a journal like on the counter or in an office somewhere so that people can walk by and write their gratitudes down throughout the day so we can see what other people are grateful for that are in our lives. I'll use the notes section in my iPhone sometimes to just write what I'm grateful for. Or sometimes I'll just sit and just really ponder, what am I really grateful for right now, and really breathe into that and allow myself to really experience the brevity of how powerful gratitude is. I mean, it is powerful. I mean, it can change brain functioning. That's how powerful it is.
Yeah. And I mean, gratitude is very powerful. And it's interesting how you say get to know what other people are grateful for, because that's going to give you ideas. Like, you know, Henry saying like, you know, hot water. I mean, that's something a lot of us can relate to. And if you see what other people are grateful for, it becomes something that you could very easily be grateful for. And I know part of living this, like getting the most out of your life, is being able to look back and be proud of what you see. And I feel like part of that is having no regrets, feeling like you gave it your all. So how can we invoke those feelings? How can we live without regrets and feel like we truly gave it our all?
Well, I don't know if we can really live a life without regret, but the thing is, when we experience regret, what can I do with that regret? A lot of times when I've had regret about something that I've said or something that I did in a previous workplace, it's really allowed me to go back and really make those things right with those people or with those places, which is more in congruence with the type of person that I want to be in my whole value system. So the whole thing, I believe, is really just being more conscious and more awake in each moment of our life. And if I can do that, then I will find that I have less regrets than if I'm closed-minded and I'm keeping my heart closed and I'm keeping people at a distance. Being more conscious is probably the first thing to do that.
Yeah, it is a really interesting point, because regret happens. It's just a matter of what we do when the regret happens, because you could regret not talking with someone. You can regret not putting in enough work for your business. You have a bad quarter, but what can you do? How do you respond to that initial regret? And then that'll determine if it's one of these regrets that just comes and goes, or if it's just one of these long-term regrets that can really eat at the soul. And one of the things that I also want to talk about is some people feel like that, you know, that everyone has dreams and you definitely want to hit them, and you don't want to be like the, oh, what if? And I feel like part of the what if is people not unlocking their full potential. So I'm wondering if you can share with us, what do you believe prevents most people from tapping into their true potential?
Scared of actually pulling it off. Hmm. Most people will say, well, you know, I'm scared of failure. No, that's not true, because most people that say, I'm scared that I'm going to fail, they have a previous history of continuing to fail. So they really were reinforcing this belief about themselves that I'm a failure, or that I won't be successful, or I won't be able to achieve my dream or my goal. Most people are really fearful about how powerful, magnificent, and beautiful they could actually be, which is really terrifying. That's one of the things that really prevented me from putting this book out. This book was 90% written about three years ago. And the fear was really about, what if I really pull this thing off and become a published author? That's scary. That raises my standard. That means that I have something that I'm committed to. I now have something that I'm accountable to. And there's a, you know, just a higher standard. If I'm a failure, the standard, the bar is pretty low. Mm. If I start reaching my full potential, other people are going to see me do that, and they're going to hold me to that new standard.
Wow, that's a great point, because I was going to ask you, because we know fear of failure is a thing, but you pointed at basically the fear of success. And I was going to ask, you know, like, why do people have this fear of success? But you really hit on that key point where if, you know, you got your typical like fifth grader, for instance, playing basketball, he misses a shot, it's not a big deal. But if LeBron James misses a shot, and like a buzzer shot especially, then, you know, that's going to make it all over the news. So like hitting more success does open you to more criticism, but at the same time, it opens you to more greatness. It opens you to really fulfilling your purpose, because someone like LeBron James, you know, you miss your buzzer shot, you're going to receive a ton of criticism. But overall, I mean, like, we could argue this, but he's one of the best players in the game right now. I personally think he is. It's definitely up to you, because I know that's a big idea, like big debate. But the whole idea is, when you achieve success, you put yourself in front of more criticism, but your impact also grows. So you have to think about those good things and let them outweigh the bad things. Like, oh, big deal, someone says something about you.
Well, the other thing too is, you used the word, you know, the good and bad. And I think as a society, we've really get stuck to this idea of it being good or something being bad. But the truth is, good and bad are just judgments. And nothing is really good or bad. It's just all basically about our social norms. So it's really up to me to decide if something in my life is going to be healthy or unhealthy. And I can look at it all being bad, but, you know, if it wasn't for the low spots in my life, it wouldn't have corrected my trajectory to get me to where I'm at. You know, I grew up in poverty. I experienced emotional abuse, emotional neglect and abandonment. I experienced sexual abuse as a child, and I could have really stayed there. And for the longest time, that was really my excuse to, like, to sell myself short. And then I realized that I am, at the end of the day, I am the only person standing in my way to be the greatest version of me that I can be. And I believe that to be true for all of us. It's our self-limiting thoughts. It's the fear of what other people are going to think of us. Are we going to let people down? The disappointment. And really, at the end of the day, none of that stuff matters, because we're in control of our own happiness. But so oftentimes, we put our own happiness, we put it in other people's hands. Mm. If they're unhappy with us, then we're unhappy with ourselves. So our happiness is our birthright, and it's our responsibility to achieve our own happiness.
Coming up on the episode, how did Henry develop the habits that allowed him to get to where he is, especially considering his past? Before we get into that, we first have the Jobber Minute. And some people say that they're not the most tech savvy people. So how will Jabber help them? Will it require any training? Well, unlike some of the other products on the market, Jabber is very user-friendly regardless of how tech savvy you are. With any new software, there's always going to be a bit of a learning curve. Fortunately, they have all the tools and support you need to make this process as successful as possible for you. Jabber Success Team is available to answer all of your questions and can be reached through their mobile app, email through support at getjabber.com, or over the phone at 1-888-721-1115, extension 2. You can also reach them via live chat by clicking the speech bubble on the top right corner of your Jabber screen. Plus, check out Jabber's Help Center for webinars, instructional videos, and other great features. And if you guys want a super special discount to Jabber, make sure you go to getjabber.com/im/breakthrough to claim your discount. Anyways, let's jump right back into the episode and hear how we could develop some really good habits for ourselves and how Henry was able to do it for himself. I love that. Happiness is our birthright, and it is something that we have full control over. I feel like some people think it's an emotion. It's something that, like if someone says something to you, you lose your happiness. Like they take it from you, but you always take it away from yourself. Happiness is certainly a choice. And it was interesting to hear pieces of your backstory that, I mean, led you to make some of the decisions you made in the past. And now, I mean, like the fact that you're here where you are is just even more impressive. I'm wondering if you could share with us some of the habits that you believe really got you to where you are, considering what your past was.
Yeah. And, you know, really, that's really all I talk about in the book is things I believed that worked for me that I think could work for all people. You know, having a positive attitude. And I don't mean like avoiding the crap storms that happen in our life. I don't mean avoiding, you know, the dark times that we may experience in our life, but maintaining a positive outlook is important. Having people around that will lift you up and believe in you and empower you is really important, because we are who we hang out with. That's really important. Having a greater purpose or a greater mission for life is really important. Something that we could wake up to. So that when my feet hit the floor in the morning, I already have something I'm stepping into for the day, right? A purpose. And I think that's really important for us. We all have to have something to wake up to. It's really what drives us. Not really caring what people are saying. You know, if somebody's going to say something negative to me, or if they're going to really criticize me, I want to know in their own life, what battles are they fighting? Because oftentimes the ones that are most critical of us are the ones that aren't even fighting in their own lives. So that's also really important. So that's probably the few journaling. You know, I'm a therapist, but I also think therapy is really important. Finding something that, you enjoy is also really important. You know, I work with people a lot of times, and even their hobbies are like work for them. So something that should be fun to them is actually more like a task. And I think as a culture, we're so task driven. It's important for people to have things where they're able to debrief, they're able to hang out, where it's not so much about an outcome or getting something done, just learning how to be. And I talk in the book about, you know, we're human beings, we're not human doings. And so leaning more towards how can we learn to just be with ourselves and just be with our life, instead of always looking for that next high or looking for the next fix or the next big project or the next, you know, the next travel opportunity or whatever that thing is, because we all have distractions. We all have things that really take us away from our center, and finding ways to bring us back to what's true to ourselves is really important. And it's different for everyone.
You hit on a lot of points that are really good. The criticism piece, I mean, people who criticize you, you do want to look at the person who's criticizing you, because a lot of the people who said I'm too young and yada, 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 they weren't doing what I wanted to do. They weren't the right people to pay attention to. So you want to look at who's criticizing you. I want to explore a little bit more because you were talking about outcome, and I feel like a lot of people focus on the outcome, like black and white or white approach, where you say you want to make X amount of sales for your book, or you want to sign up X amount of clients, and then you don't hit that number. You're like, this is a waste of my time. I failed. I feel miserable. So how can we still go for goals? I'm not saying don't do that. Like, you still want to set like X amount of clients each month or whatever the goal is, but how can we not get too attached to the outcome and really appreciate the journey more?
Yeah, that's a really good. And you know, I really look at most things as a win-win or a both and, not really a either or, like a win-lose. And my friend asked when I put this book out, he said, now that the book's out, man, how many are you going to sell? How much money you want to make? And I said, really, my only goal was to put this book out. Anything other than that, if I sell one copy of this book, then I'm good. That's just, you know, icing on the top. So I think that we go back to this, you know, this kind of setting up this failure and this success, that if I strive for perfection, or if I strive for these really unattainable goals, I'm going to set myself up to fail every single time. So the first thing I do when I'm working with people and even with myself is, what's my margin of error? Like, if I'm choosing to work at about 98%, and I keep falling around 92%, 88%, 87%, I need to readjust my metrics. I need to really readjust, what am I measuring my success by? Because the whole thing is, when we are successful with something, we increase our confidence. And when my confidence is increased, then I can raise my metric a little bit. So if I'm hitting 87% and I'm feeling really good about 87, maybe I can move up to 89 or 90%. Then I'm at 90% and I'm feeling good. Maybe I keep it at 90% and I leave myself a little wiggle room. And that's going to be different for business. That's going to be different for whatever approach that I'm really applying this to. But I think it's important for people to have a margin of error. And it's important for us to continue to reevaluate our metric system.
I love this idea of not being perfect. In fact, a good friend of mine, Elizabeth Trinkus, who hosts the Enough Already podcast, she likes to have people embrace their perfect imperfections. And I just really thought of that, because you want to have that margin of error. You don't want to go for perfection, because if you don't hit it and you are really adamant about being perfect, which is impossible anyway, then you're going to bog down on yourself. You're going to have all these negative thoughts enter your mind. Then it's better to create that margin of error, still put in a ton of work and stuff, but don't try to be perfect.
You will fail, right? That's the ultimate outcome is the person will feel like a failure. So I believe that it's important that we feel good about what it is that we're doing, whether it's work, whether it's hobbies, whether it's sports, whether it's family, that we're feeling good about what it is that we're doing. That's really important, is to have that, you know, that positive energy around us and whatever it is that we're putting that energy into. I think that so many times that we waste so much energy trying to be perfect or to try to operate above our standard, that we're wasting this inefficient energy. It's foolish. And if we could shift that energy towards something else, I couldn't even imagine what the outcome could be.
Yeah, and I mean, the ways we move our energy, that is a big impact on our success. That has a big impact on how we live our lives and conduct ourselves. So if we think about where we're moving our energy and also having more of it, like sleeping, eating healthy, doing all these right things to have more energy, that's going to be really beneficial. And you want to add to that or?
Yeah. And, you know, I talk about, because you're kind of leading on to this self-care thing, like how important it is to really nurture and nourish ourselves, because life can be so demanding. I know it is for me, owning my own business and this new book's out, and I have a 2-year-old daughter and my wife and all of this. So it's important for me to make sure that I'm getting adequate rest and that I'm staying hydrated and that I'm exercising. It's important that I'm doing things to really cultivate a sense of nurture within myself. I work with people, a lot of times I say, so what do you do to take care of yourself? They say, oh, well, I watch Netflix. Okay, cool. I watch Netflix. I'm watching the Wu-Tang Saga right now. It is phenomenal. But watching Netflix, binging on TV shows, isn't taking care of someone's emotional needs. It's a distraction. And notice how when we talk about watching TV shows over a weekend, we call it binging. We refer to that as drugs and alcohol now. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with like watching your shows and that kind of stuff. You know, I love my shows, but what else are we doing to really nurture the part of ourselves deep down inside that really needs to be taken care of? That's really important.
Henry, really deep stuff. And being able to know the difference between something that's self-care and something that's a distraction. I absolutely love the fact that you addressed that. You gave us this idea like, wait, no, it could be a distraction. Just making sure that you do the proper self-care. So that's a really amazing insight. And one of the things we're going to recommend everyone do is keep following Henry's work. Make sure you get his book, Maximize. That will be in the show notes. But where are some of the other places we can find you as well?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, Lucas Counseling and Consulting on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram at Lucas Counseling, also HLUMAX10 on Instagram. And then I'm also on what's the really lame business? LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn too, Henry Lucas. So yeah, that's where you can find me. Also my website, lucascounseling.org. My book's on the website. It's on Amazon. I also have a lot of blogs on my website that I really like. And if you want to reach out and connect in other ways, you can also email me at henry@lucascounseling.org.
Well, all of those will be in the show notes for this episode. And we'll also throw in the strategy call link for people who want to figure out how can they start, grow, monetize their podcast, YouTube channel, even use that to get a TEDx talk. But once again, Henry, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure having you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks for having me. It was great. Thank you.
This episode of Breakthrough Success was brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Start a free trial or sign up today to receive 20% off your first 6 months over at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough. Henry, thank you again for coming on Breakthrough Success. The insights you shared were really incredible. And I really think if we do take the time to be grateful, to really focus on our happiness, a lot of good results are going to happen. And that can help us live our freedom lifestyle. Freedom lifestyle, that's going to be what we talk about on next week's episode. We talk about how to live that freedom lifestyle and some of the pillars that lead to a freedom lifestyle. So that's going to be the next episode. In the meantime, I'd greatly appreciate if you could leave a review for Breakthrough Success, because all of the reviews really matter and they help out big time. So signing off, what I want you guys to do, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.